The Gospel Easy as 1-2-3, Part 2, In Action. Now, we've already learned what the Gospel is according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we learned that we must obey the Gospel just exactly the way Peter instructed in Acts 2:38 when he said to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's as easy as 1-2-3. Now we see the gospel in action in the book of Acts. Pulling scripture from here and from there the way we did in the first lesson is how you have to find truth in the Bible, but we could have made a mistake. So what we've got to do is look at the example that was set by the apostles and see how they did it. And if they did it the way we found out, then that'll tell us that we're right. And if they didn't, that'll tell us that we're wrong. We need to do it the way they did. They set us the right example. Through the apostles' preaching, God used the gospel to save people from their sins. And so let's look at how they did it. First of all, the book of Acts, chapter 8, we find the story of the people of a city called Samaria receiving the word of God. Beginning in Acts chapter 8, verse 5, it says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city." Now this is a great meeting. They're having miracles. They're having signs and wonders. They're having a wonderful response from the congregation. They're having crowds come, and everybody's real excited about it. People are happy. There's joy in the city. Now, continuing in verse 9, it says, "But there was a certain rich man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Now, first of all, let's notice this. They had a false religion. They were involved in sorcery and idol worship and following a man who was proclaiming himself falsely to be God named Simon. But when Philip preached to them, they turned away from all that. They changed their lifestyle. They changed their belief system. They turned away from their sin. Turning away from sin is called repentance. So we see the first part of the gospel. They repented. Also in verse 12, we see that they were baptized. All of the people, men and women, when they believed, they were all baptized. And if we skip ahead to verse 16, it tells us very, very clearly that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, this is a great meeting. Like we said, Philip is preaching and the people are obeying the preaching. They're getting baptized. They're repenting. All of this is happening. That's very, very good. However, nobody was receiving the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And so Philip was not satisfied with the results. He knew that they needed to receive the Holy Ghost. So he sent to Jerusalem for some big name preachers to come down and help him out. And so we'll start in verse 15, it says, "Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost." So we see the third part of the gospel is in action here in Acts chapter 8. They received the Holy Ghost. All three parts. They repented, they were baptized in the name of Jesus, and they received the Holy Ghost. Next, we'll look at a story of a man named Cornelius and his household turning to God. Now, this story is told twice in the Bible. It happens in Acts chapter 10, but then in Acts chapter 11, Peter, who was involved in it, had to explain to some other people what had happened. So he retells the story. We're going to look at some parts of both of these accounts to compare the way they're told. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 6 says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Now turn over to chapter 11. It's telling about the exact same thing. Peter, telling his friends about it, says in verse 13, And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Now in Acts chapter 10, it said that he was going to tell them what they ought to do. Well, ought to do for what? Ought to do to get more healthy? Ought to do to lose weight? Ought to do to move up in society? No, tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. So the angel told Cornelius to send for Peter, who would tell him how he and all his house would be saved. All right, so we know salvation comes by the gospel, so let's look and see how the gospel was put into operation. Skipping ahead to verse 42, Peter has now preached to this group of people gathered at Cornelius' house, and he's finishing up the preaching. He's talking about Jesus. It says, And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Now, stop right there. Let's just skip back to chapter 11, see how it says it there in verse 15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. So while Peter was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on Cornelius and his family. So there's part of the gospel. They received the Holy Ghost. Now, continuing on in chapter 10 with verse 45, it says, And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now, these people didn't expect Cornelius and his family to receive the Holy Ghost because they were Gentiles, but they knew that they did receive it because they heard them speak with tongues. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So Peter commanded these people to be baptized, and he commanded it to be done in the name of the Lord. So we find another part of the gospel here. They were baptized. They received the Holy Ghost, and they were baptized. So that's two. But we're missing one. What about repent? Don't they need to repent? Well, look at chapter 11, verse 18. After Peter got finished telling these people about what had happened, says in verse 18, When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. You see, they recognized that the very fact that these people received the Holy Ghost showed that they had repented, because you don't get the Holy Ghost without repenting. And so they confirmed right here, word for word, that Cornelius and his household did repent. All three parts of the gospel. They repented, they were baptized in the name of the Lord, and they received the Holy Ghost. Turning over to Acts chapter 19, we're going to look at one more story of people being saved by the gospel. It says, And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Now these people had already been baptized unto John's baptism. That was the baptism of repentance. So these people had already repented. But Paul didn't come just to find out if they repented. He came to find out whether they had the whole gospel, because he knew they needed it. So he started out asking them if they had received the Holy Ghost. When they said they never heard of the Holy Ghost, he figured he better check on how they were baptized. And so they told him. And now look what happened in verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they all got baptized again in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then in verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So Paul laid his hands on them. They received the Holy Ghost. And when they received the Holy Ghost, they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So we see these people had repented. We see that they got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we see that they received the Holy Ghost, all three parts. Every one of these accounts, we see the entire gospel put into practice. It's consistent all the way through the book of Acts, all the way through the Bible in the New Testament. When people are saved, we see all three elements of the gospel put into practice: death, burial, resurrection, repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, receiving the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Now look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but though we, now that's talking about us, the apostles, because this is the apostle Paul writing this, but though we, or even an angel from heaven, even somebody greater than us, preach any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Well, now we know what gospel they preached unto them. We just read about them doing it all through the book of Acts. That gospel that they preached was repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus, and receive the Holy Ghost. And now Paul was telling the Galatians, if I come back and tell you some other gospel, you write me off. You let me be accursed. If Peter comes and tells you some other gospel than that, you let him be accursed. Even if an angel from heaven comes down and appears to you in a vision, if he tries to tell you about being saved some other way than the way that we already preach to you, death, burial, resurrection, repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Ghost, let him be accursed. That same gospel that was preached in the book of Acts, that was preached in the New Testament day and saved those sinners in that day, is the very same gospel that saves you and me today. Let's put the gospel into action the way the apostles did.